Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into ScoopsWithDannyMac.com and welcome in to the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios. This is brought to you by Lordo's Diamonds. Lordo's Diamonds, located in the heart of Ladue. Find the diamond, find the jewelry you want. LordosDiamonds.com. LordosDiamonds.com, 9222 Clayton Road. You walk in, Jimmy Lordo there. He'll greet you, mention my name or Scoops, and you'll get additional money off on your purchase for that birthday. Maybe it's an anniversary, that special date coming up in your life, and you need to treat somebody. Think Lordo's Diamonds. We're going to visit with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Lots to get into with the news of Jordan Hicks, how that affects the club. Also, the return of Albert Pujols, and you may have overlooked it, but tonight, the return of Stephen Piscotty, which should be a very, very nice evening at the ballpark. So, tonight, Jack Flaherty going for St. Louis, and Flaherty, last time we saw him on the field, Flaherty was picked off against Miami at second base, so we'll see how he responds to that. All that and more. Long visit with Derek Gould. Also, a little update on Alex Reyes coming up on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Derek Gould, we come to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studio, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and we jump right into it. As we talked about as I set this up, a lot to get into with you, Derek, of course, from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLToday.com, and you can follow on Twitter and also on Facebook. And Derek, when you looked at the Cardinals team coming out of the series with the Angels, you felt pretty good. Yep. 2 out of 3. It was a great weekend. Albert Pujols was honored. But then you get the news of Jordan Hicks yesterday, torn UCL. So what does that mean for the player and the club?
Yeah, well, first off, it means they're going to have to explore treatment options. And we all know, Dan, what the ultimate treatment option is, and that's Tommy John surgery. It repairs the ligament. It means he's out for at least a year. You know, the recovery is long. The surgery is mostly successful. I mean, it has a high rate of return to form, which is important. You know, it's not just return, but a return to form. So that's the ultimate treatment. It's not unusual, Dan, with a torn ligament or partial ligament for the player and the team to see how rest does. The Cardinals have a pitcher. They have experience with a pitcher who pitched a long time with a partial tear of his ligament, and that was Adam Wainwright. Went years and years before it actually gave way, and he was able to pitch through it. Why they'll do this, Dan, is, you know, rest and recovery is always better than surgery. I get a lot of questions as to, like, why don't they just go right to the surgery if, you know, the surgery has such a high rate of recovery? Well, the surgery doesn't have 100% rate of recovery. It doesn't have 100% rate of return to form. It doesn't have 100% rate of return to elite pitching. You know, rest and recovery at least gives that chance. You'll recall many years ago, Chris Carpenter did this, right? He tried to rest with the torn ligament, got treatment and tried to come back and pitch and just couldn't. And then eventually had to have Tommy John. And I get the fan frustration that, well, if he had it right away, then he's back 2 months earlier or whatever, but it doesn't really work that way. Players and teams are going to want to avoid surgery, especially an invasive surgery like this, if they can. If they can't, then that's what will happen.
What do you think the Cardinals do in the back end of their games?
I think they turn to Carlos Martinez, maybe some John Gant, maybe depending on the matchups, a little bit of Andrew Miller. But, you know, Carlos Martinez had the role there at the end of last season. They liked him in that role. Mike Maddox liked him in that role as a closer. I think Carlos Martinez liked that role. It does allow for the Cardinals to kind of maximize the use of him, who has been paid to be a starter but just isn't capable of being a starter this year. So they'll turn to Carlos Martinez, give him a run in the ninth inning, see how that goes. It gives them somebody who still is scary in the ninth inning when he's at his best, but nobody like Jordan Hicks to just impose fear on an opponent. But, you know, Carlos Martinez was not too long ago one of the 5-6 best pitchers in the National League, starting pitchers in the National League. And if he can get that stuff, if he really kind of relishes this chance in the ninth, then maybe he's that guy who shortens games for them. That's what they really need.
Absolutely. Alex Reyes is another guy that I want to get into because, you know, so many people are curious about him. He had the pectoral issue during his last start. What have you heard about Alex and the severity of his injury and just where he's at right now?
All right, so the complete extent of his injury is still being explored. You know, I think there was talk about having him evaluated there in Memphis or whether or not, you know, does he come to St. Louis to get a look? What's the reasoning there? They're also talking to Alex about, all right, how long have you felt this? What have you felt this? And, you know, what's the difference between being sore and hurt? So there's a lot there that they're trying to understand with as far as, you know, whereas Jordan played out over like 3 days, and I think Reyes is going to be doing the same, right? It's like, all right, how does it feel? How does it feel? What kind of scan do we need? And where do we need to do this? So with Alex, it's tricky because, you know, now you have, what is this now, three or four different times where he's just really had, you know, had to slow down or had to step off the mound because of some kind of injury or soreness in that area. You think back, right? You know, he pitched in spring training. The elbow gave way, had to have Tommy John surgery, missed an entire year, comes back from that, gets four innings into his major league return, has that real odd slip in velocity. And then we learned that, okay, the shoulder has come apart, another surgery, another missed season. Now you have this area in the, you know, the pectoral muscle, which again is something that Carlos Martinez had when he was having a sore shoulder. He had, you know, soreness and stuff around that area, and it was described as a pectoral issue. So, you know, there's a lot to ask you, and Alex, why is this recurring? What is it about how you pitch or how they do the recovery or how they're doing the rehab that then makes him vulnerable to these things? You know, I don't know, you know, where the Cardinals are with Alex is kind of at a point of, all right, what they get from him is going to be bonus this season. You know, entering this season, they were pretty clear that they were hopeful that he would contribute at some point in time at the major league, Dan. You know, and obviously coming out of spring training, Mike Schilt wanted him to contribute big. The manager was really intrigued by how he pitched in spring training and wanted to give him a prominent role in the bullpen and was even open to train, you know, developing him on the job later to be a starter, sort of ramping up through the season so that he would be a starter. They just were so intrigued by what he could bring out of the bullpen. Now they have to look at it as a bonus, and they have to go back to kind of where they started the season, which was, all right, this season is about prepping Alex Reyes to be in the rotation next season. It's about being a starter in 2020. It's about being ready and not rusty and healthy and strong and ready to start for 2020. But another delay like this, in addition to like just, it just was not always in command. I talked to the manager down there, Dan, in Memphis, and he said one of the things that, you know, he said Alex was on the brink. He said you could see that Alex is putting together individual innings that are vintage Reyes. He said now he's got to stack those innings together and then put them into a start. And then he said he's just ready to explode off the page. That was his phrase, quote-unquote, explode off the page. He said, well, one of the things he needs is that laser focus constantly. And not just, you know, for that one inning where it goes great, but for that entire start. And I think that's a conversation that they'll have with him as well. Maybe Schilt has that with him.
Yeah, that could happen. What did you think of the Albert Pujols weekend? Just in a nutshell, what was your takeaway?
Well, I thought it was remarkable. I thought it was really remarkable. It was one of the most memorable and moving and thoughtful weekends I've seen at a ballpark or any ballpark. You know, the way some of it happened organically, the way we could predict some of it was going to happen, you know, it was really a genuine outpouring of affection and appreciation for a player. And I thought it was great. I thought, you know, Dan, you've been a real champion for St. Louis going back to the MLS, you know, and all that you've said and what you've said since the Rams have left town, just about like the civic confidence and civic identity and sort of a civic unity. And I think over the last 3 weeks here, we've had two remarkable weekends of civic pride with the Blues Parade. And then, of course, with just this welcome home Albert weekend, which it should resonate across baseball and really throughout sports what happened.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's well put. And I think the one thing I took, well, there's a bunch I took away, but the thing I really took away as it pertains to a baseball perspective was my understanding is that the visit with John Mozeliak, Albert and Bill DeWitt was very warm, very mm-hmm. open, and kind of putting things to rest, so to speak, but just very warm and open. And then the other thing that I took away was, so that's important as it pertains to the future. The other thing that I think with this too, and I'll get your thoughts, is that it opened the door for everything else beyond this year, meaning when he's done playing and the red jacket, the opening days, the Cardinals Hall of Fame, the statue, which I do think he will get, yep. You know, and it just
retired number.
Yeah. If there was any lingering questions, this put it all to rest. And it was kind of like, look, it was ugly for some, for others, they didn't care. If there are questions that were out there, I'm talking about from the fans. It's all been put to rest and he's going to come home, and I really believe that'll be the case. You agree?
I got to be honest. I never had any doubt that stuff would happen. Did you have doubt that stuff would happen?
No, that's what I was saying. I just think it kind of put like the final nail in the coffin. You know, like
I knew.
I always felt it was going to happen, but if there was any lingering questions for some, this ended that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think a year after, 24 months after, 3 years after. He signs, you know, there was still some, you know, I mean, there's still a bad taste in the mouth. There's still a little bit of that battery flavor in the whole thing, you know,
for sure.
But it's been so long. His milestones have come and gone. You know, the 3,000 hits, the 600 home runs, you know, I mean, he didn't leave St. Louis as a presence. I think that matters. You know, he's still been around. He's quietly visited sometimes. I was surprised he'd never been to the ballpark. I didn't expect that when he said he'd only driven around it, but never gone in it. You know, I think, when talking to our friend, Bernie Miklas over on his show, they asked me what it was going to be like, a few days before I got there. And I said, I think it's just going to be, you know, constant ovations that remind him that regardless of where he went or even where he goes from here, that he always has a home in St. Louis. Like that was to me, I thought that's what's going to be the message. And I think that really did come out. It's like, look, man, you can go play for the Angels. You can go get traded somewhere else. You can have a personal services contract and maybe that's where your life is. You can, you know, live in LA, but there's always a home in St. Louis for him. You know, there is always an ovation waiting for when he comes back. Obviously, that's because he's a great player. I also would contend that that's because he won World Series here. That's what we see.
More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. You can shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. You can even find exclusive savings in a single touch with over 100 weekly coupons. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today. Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel to men, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men. I find it interesting that Jack Flaherty makes the start tonight, right? And he's going against the Oakland A's. And the last time we saw Jack Flaherty on the mound, he was getting picked off. What do you think? You know, I just want to get your thoughts on this, and we can wrap things up here in just a moment. But what do you think Mike Schilt will do in those pinch-running situations from here on out?
Oh, boy. What's the makeup of the roster? I mean, you know, the part of this that I find fascinating and probably maybe doesn't get talked enough about or not is the fact that pitchers pinch-running is a product of starters going shorter. Right.
So this is where I'm wanting you to go. I was curious if you're going to do it. Roster construction and expansion of roster, if this is indeed the game that we're seeing today. But anyway, go ahead.
Totally. Totally. This is what's happened is, you know, as teams go, hey, five-inning starter, that's okay. Six-inning starter, that's okay. But we got to carry an extra reliever because now we got all these innings to cover. Or, hey, we're going to have a hyper-aggressive bullpen. We're going to go total bullpenning on this stuff with an opener and all this stuff. Now they're carrying the extra pitcher. That reduces the bench by one bat, by one person. And, you know, in a lot of teams, the bench is already reduced by one person because they carry a backup catcher that they're not going to use because of emergency. So all of a sudden now you got this three-man bench. You know, you got, you know, to use them at some point in time, or you've already used them, and it just expands the need to use pitchers as base runners. Well, that's fine to a certain extent. I totally understand if you want to be somebody who says, nope, never should happen. Never put a starter in harm's way that's not his job. The job is volatile enough. Heck, Jordan Hicks is an example of that, right? Pitching is volatile enough and can invite injury. Don't put him in harm's way somewhere else where a finger can get stepped on or any of that stuff. I completely understand that argument. However, it's National League. Pitcher's got to hit. Pitcher's got to run. Pitcher's got to be out there. Pitcher's got to be a baseball player. And now with these reallocated rosters that put such an emphasis on relief pitching and add the extra guy a lot, we've also seen teams with two extra pitchers from the way it used to be about 10, 12 years ago. That means the bench is down by even one more. And, you know, they just have to do more things. And one of those things that comes up early is pinch running. And we've seen it twice with Jack Flaherty in New York and then most recently against Miami, where Schilt had to use his bench or had to hold a guy back just in case he needed a position player to play because he didn't want to put a pitcher on the field. And so Flaherty had to run. You know, to Flaherty's credit, he's athletic, he runs well, and he does work on base running. You can go out and see him during BP. He'll be out there working. He knows this role. He knows he's got a prep for it. He might not do it once a week, once every other week, but he does go out there and do it. I don't know where else Schilt goes, you know, because are they going to change the roster for a pinch runner they might need every so often? No. So I don't really have a good answer for you, Dan, as to what they do because the culture, climate, and current style of baseball has imposed this on them. I think the answer has to be that they get Flaherty better prepped.
Yeah. Well, to me, it was just, it's the bigger question of this is the game today. Starters aren't going deep. And, you know, you're carrying an 8-9-man bullpen, so your bench is limited, and that's what you get. Final thought.
You could go with Wainwright. I mean, you you know, you could choose to go with the guy who has more experience.
Or a bad hamstring.
Right. Well, yeah, there you go. That's not a thing. You could go with Carlos Martinez on days he's not available, but, oh, well, he's a closer now.
Right.
And also, he's been caught a little bit on the bases, you know, roaming. So, you know, I don't know if there is a really great answer.
Right.
I mean, the answer is Jack Flaherty, don't look down.
Well, that, yeah, you could definitely say that. And also you could say that the answer is, if this is the way the game's going to be played and starters don't go a third time through and you're carrying an 8-9-man bullpen, then Major League Baseball needs to look at expansion of rosters, which is probably going to happen anyway with the new CBA.
It's going to happen next year.
Right.
Next year.
So,
yeah, there's,
you know,
a 26-man next year.
Yeah. Final thought. I have not seen if Stephen Piscotty has returned after his...
Yes.
Okay, so now we have another return of someone that, you know, spent a little time here, but was highly thought of, and then with the passing of his mother and the circumstances that we later found out about, Cardinal fans got really behind that and reached out to Stephen, and you know, we talked about it on the air. I reached out to Stephen personally. I know you probably did too. So his first at-bat tonight and the subsequent following at-bats, I'm not saying it's a standing O every time, but I bet he gets a loud, loud ovation in his return to Busch Stadium tonight.
Yeah, I bet you that first at-bat goes a lot like we've seen a lot of these first at-bats go, you know, with a little, like Descalso through the years and, you know, David Eckstein when he came back and all that. I think there's going to be a lot of warmth for Stephen Piscotty's return because everybody understands why that trade happened. He's gone off and become a really solid player too. So, you know, I think there will be a lot of warmth. I don't think you're going to see it every at bat. I definitely don't think if the bases are loaded in a 2-run game and Stephen Piscotty's up and the Cardinals are, you know, trying to win the game, you're not going to hear a chant for Pisco. Like we heard there, I don't think they're going to boo the pitcher. If Flaherty walks Piscotty, I don't think there's going to be a boo. But I think there is going to be a lot of warmth for his first at bat and for his return to Busch. And context is all of that, and it's really good. I think that's another reason why. And we talk a lot about you know, just the atmosphere and the culture of baseball here, and you know, and we've seen it spread to the culture of Blues and the fan base there. But that's just it's another way, another angle on why St. Louis is such a great place for baseball is awareness.
You know, it's funny. I think we're getting old, Derek. I've had young people come up to me and say, I don't understand why they did all that for Pujols. And I would suspect and would, acknowledge the fact that maybe there were some young people on the field that didn't quite understand all the love for Albert Pujols. And it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, I think that the response to that is not then to be dismissive of it, but to ask why.
Exactly.
I mean, there were some young players that were like, really, to have the stadium turned upside down on them was new. But it put in perspective what he accomplished. And, you know, in talking to Paul DeJong and some of these other young players, you know, put in perspective what they can accomplish. They may not hit like Albert Pujols. They may not collect 3 MVPs like Albert Pujols. That may not be in their future. But the idea of playing well, performing well, and winning in St. Louis, that's there for them. That is there for them to take. And then you can see the response that awaits you every time you come home.
No doubt. Derek, thanks so much. We'll see you at the ballpark tonight.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Thank you very much.